Well, it's May 19th, 2023. And 16:58 hours. Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green here. I'm on a bit of a hectic schedule today, so I'm a little late. I'm having issues with researching watches. I was almost thinking I was going to order another watch, but then I realized I'd forgotten one of the watches I ordered also. And I had to authorize a payment at the customs point in Canada to get the watch from outside the country into the country. But normally companies don't do that. They normally charge in advance, or, you know, they make it easier for the customer so the customer doesn't have to do anything at the border. And the problem is, I'm no good with a mobile phone because I don't use it. So trying to authorize payments using mobile phones, and when I also have text apps that don't accept authorized payments, or they don't accept messages for the purpose of authorizing payments, you know, I have this. So I have to accept an audio call, and I've got, you know, it's just, and the audio call, I accidentally seem to be canceling my audio calls on my mobile phone. I don't understand how that works. And, you know, it's not that I'm not technical. I'm extremely technical. It's just that I don't use a mobile phone. So anyway, I think I might have succeeded in authorizing the payment. It told me I did, so we'll see what happens. But I've got a watch coming that has a moon phase. It's very exciting. It's got a real moon phase on it, and it's not a cheap watch. It's coming from Orient Star in Japan, so I'm excited about that. But I also have some more replacements coming, two different ones, both with the same Miyota movement, which I don't own yet. The Miyota movement that is a one-directional rotor, so it only works in one direction. And that might be a problem for my automatic winding machine if I don't set it properly, so... But I've also learned the automatic winder doesn't always work as well as you think. So hand winding is essential also. But I've also considered I might be able to repair my existing watch. Maybe I just need to take it apart and put it together. There might be a slight misalignment on the balance wheel or something. I don't know what's going on with it, but it's only a $130 watch. So at some point, it's probably worth me experimenting with it, see if I can fix it myself. Because it's my favorite watch in terms of how it looks. And looks have to do with functionality, generally, like legibility, for example, and also having the day displayed wide at the top is not just legibility, but a functionality issue with appearance. There are some very minor, and also contrasts. Contrast between the dial and the hands is another issue. And that, unfortunately, I didn't fulfill when I bought the Mother of Pearl watch. I didn't understand that there's a contrast issue between the hands in very low light and the dial if they're the same color. The hands and dial need to be contrasting colors. And the best combination that I've seen so far is a dark blue on a white dial for low light without lume. Assuming that it's not dark enough for lume to actually work, then you need to have contrast. So I'm using my video camera today. I was using the photo camera, and that may be why I was out of focus, but I thought that the photo camera did a better job in some respects of framing my head. So I switched to the camera, the other camera, in the iPhone 6S. So anyway, I'm using the video camera again. This is Jackson Brown from 1978, from the album of the same name, a song called Running on Empty. I got it reset? I do. Okay.
Look
Thank you. That song was recorded live. And all these years I've listened to that song, but I don't think I knew it was recorded live, actually, until recently, very, very recently, like yesterday or something. So that is, to me, that's very impressive. In 1978, to get audio quality that good in a live performance as well, that's impressive. Because having the equipment is one thing, but knowing technically how to do it is another thing. That song is one of my favorite songs. I honestly can say that. And there's just something about it. And apparently it was written because Jackson Browne, the songwriter, was driving around to the studio, back and forth to the studio from his place of dwelling at the time they were recording this album. And he was running around without much gas in the tank of his car, so it was running on empty all the time. And that's where the song came from, which I also didn't know until yesterday, essentially. So but that song inspires me, like, it's so true of so many aspects of my life. Whenever I'm near the end of my rope, so to speak, or when I work hard and I take it to the limit, not to quote the title of another song, that one by the Eagles or anything like that, but I mean, when I push myself, this running on empty, this rings true to me. So chapter 9 of part 2 of Wild Road, paragraph 8, it is possible that the key to understanding dating is connected with the facts surrounding the tower. Talking about the Tower of Babel, right? Or the Tower of Menes. The 63 years of Menes do arrive at 2709 from 2772 BCE. According to Jacob Bryant, the figures of history find expression often in the same names of mythology, as he believes. So Osiris and Thoth are different names, but names given to one man in different contexts or times. This is a concept vital to the understanding of myths. Paragraph 1111 of our article, Ark of Urartu, states, the adventures of Hercules are consistent in largesse with the exploits of Sesostris, and the Tyrian god Baal relates well with Belus, the moniker of Nimrod, and his ancestor, as does also the son of Hercules, Alcaeus, with the founder of the Assyrian Empire, Ninus, sometimes the name Nimrod, for Ninus also, Osiris, the father, posthumously, of Horus, is Hercules, as the father of Proteus, who is the younger Thoth, or Toith. Thoth, the son of Osiris, is thus the first pharaoh of Egypt. Pharaoh Toith, compare with Proteus. The name Pharaoh Toith, with a hyphen, compared to Proteus. Pharaoh being the word pro, in a contracted form, Toith being similar to Teus, T-E-U-T-H compared to T-E-U-S, very similar. And Hercules, the last of the shepherd kings, talking about Thoth, first of all, and now Hercules, the last of the shepherd kings, known as Mizraim and Narmer, who began the Egyptian calendar in 2774 BCE and named the first months by the name of his son Proteus, which first month is, quote, Thoth, unquote. There is no figure in history or mythology. By the way, that's the end of the quotation from the article. It was from the Ark of Urartu 2010 by Rolf Ward Green, yours truly, and Anne Ruth Rutledge, the late Anne Ruth Rutledge. There is no figure in history or mythology who is more popular, nor is anyone more deified than is Hercules, who fought Phineas Farsa and also fought the Minotaur. Thoth is the father of writing, something that Manetho says of Athothis, and to Sorthros, or the modern Chaucer. Manetho also says that he had great medical skill and that he invented the art of building using hewn stone. Manetho does not recognize the identity of Chaucer Tasis in the way we have with Chaucer and Thoth or Athothis. That was quite a richly information-packed paragraph, and at the same time it summarized and condensed all of these historical figures into very much fewer figures and individuals or personages. Did it not? That was quite a revelation as far as understanding that because different languages are so different, the names that are given to people in the different languages can be extremely different, and we might not even recognize that it's the same person who's being written about or talked about. Our proverb for today is from Ecclesiastes 3 and 21. Who is there knowing the spirit of the sons of mankind, whether it is ascending upward, and the spirit of the beast, whether it is descending downward to the earth? The spirit of the sons of mankind and the spirit of the beast. Who is there knowing whether they are ascending upward or downward? And history? And respectively, with regard to those spirits of man and beast. Now, our study for today from Exodus, Jehovah giving more instructions to Moses. My allergies. Oh, I've got my... Excuse me. I've got my HEPA filter running locally here. And I do seem to have some allergies this springtime, this season, but this year particularly. Well, they haven't been bothering me very much today because I have my filter running, for example. That helped a lot. But I have to keep it set on low because I don't want too much noise in the background here. And then I'll turn it up again afterwards, I think. So from Exodus 28, Jehovah says, as recorded by Moses, he was saying this to Moses, quote, "And as for you, bring near to yourself Aaron your brother and his sons with him from the midst of the sons of Israel, that he may act as priest to me, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, the sons of Aaron. And you must make holy garments for Aaron your brother for glory and beauty." So Aaron's sons are Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. "And you yourself are to speak to all the ones wise with a heart that I have filled with the spirit of wisdom. And they must make Aaron's garments for sanctifying him, that he may act as priest to me. And these are the garments that they will make: a breastpiece and an ephod and a sleeveless coat and a robe of checkerwork, a turban and a sash. And they must make the holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may act as priest to me. And they themselves will take the gold and the blue thread and the wool-dyed reddish-purple and caucus scarlet material and the fine linen. And they must make the ephod of gold, blue thread and wool-dyed reddish-purple, caucus scarlet material and fine twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer. And it is to have two shoulder pieces to be joined at its two extremities, and it must be joined. And the girdle, which is upon it for tying it close according to its workmanship, should be of its materials of gold, blue thread and wool, dyed reddish purple, and caucus scarlet material and fine twisted linen. And you must take two onyx stones and engrave upon them the names of the sons of Israel, six of their names upon the one stone and the names of the six remaining ones upon the other stone in the order of their births, with the work of a craftsman in stones with the engravings of a seal. You are to engrave the two stones with the names of the sons of Israel. Set in settings of gold is how you will make them. And you must put the two stones upon the shoulder pieces of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel. And Aaron must carry their names before Jehovah upon his two shoulder pieces as a memorial. And you must make settings of gold and two chains of pure gold. As cords you will make them with the workmanship of a rope. And you must attach the rope-like chains to the settings. And you must make the breastpiece of judgment with the workmanship of an embroiderer, like the workmanship of the ephod you will make it, of gold, blue thread, and wool-dyed reddish-purple and caucus scarlet material and fine twisted linen. You will make it. It should be four square when doubled, a span of the hand being its length, and a span of the hand its width. And you must fill it with a filling of stones, there being four rows of stones. A row of ruby, topaz, and emerald is the first row, and the second row is turquoise, sapphire, and jasper. And the third row is lychium stone, agate, and amethyst. And the fourth row is chrysolite, and onyx, and jade. Sockets of gold should be in their fillings. And the stones should be according to the names of the sons of Israel, the 12, according to their names. With the engravings of a seal, they should be, each one according to its name, for the 12 tribes. And you must make upon the breastpiece wreathed chains in rope work of pure gold. And you must make upon the breastpiece two rings of gold. And you must put the two rings upon the two extremities of the breastpiece. And you must put the two ropes of gold through the two rings at the extremities of the breastpiece. And you will put the two ends of the two ropes through the two settings. And you must put them upon the shoulder pieces of the ephod at the forefront of it. And you must make two rings of gold and set them at the two extremities of the breastpiece upon its edge that is on the side toward the ephod inward. And you must make two rings of gold and put them upon the two shoulder pieces of the ephod from below, on its forefront near its place of joining above the girdle of the ephod. And they will bind the breastpiece by its rings to the rings of the ephod with a blue string, that it may continue above the girdle of the ephod, and the breastpiece may not get displaced from on top the ephod. And Aaron must carry the names of the sons of Israel on the breastpiece of judgment over his heart when he comes into the holy as a memorial before Jehovah constantly. And you must put the Urim and the Thummim into the breastpiece of judgment, and they must prove to be over Aaron's heart when he comes in before Jehovah. And Aaron must carry the judgments of the sons of Israel over his heart before Jehovah constantly. And you must make the sleeveless coat of the ephod completely of blue thread. And there must be an opening at its top in the middle of it. Its opening should have a border round about, the product of a loom worker. Like the opening of a coat of mail, it should be for it, that it may not be torn. And you must make upon the hem of it pomegranates of blue thread and wool-dyed reddish-purple and caucus scarlet material upon its hem round about, and bells of gold in between them round about, a bell of gold and a pomegranate, a bell of gold and a pomegranate upon the hem of the sleeveless coat round about. And it must be upon Aaron that he may minister, and the sound from him must be heard when he goes into the sanctuary before Jehovah, and when he comes out, that he may not die. And you must make a shining plate of pure gold and engrave upon it with the engravings of a seal. Holiness belongs to Jehovah. And you must fasten it with a blue string, and it must come to be upon the turban. On the forefront of the turban it should come to be. And it must come to be upon Aaron's forehead. And Aaron must answer for the error committed against the holy objects which the sons of Israel will sanctify. That is to say, all their holy gifts. And it must stay upon his forehead constantly to gain approval for them before Jehovah. And you must weave in checkerwork the robe of fine linen and make a turban of fine linen. And you will make a sash, the work of a weaver. And for Aaron's sons, you will make robes, and you must make sashes for them. And you will make headgears for them, for glory and beauty. And with them you must clothe Aaron your brother and his sons with him. And you must anoint them and fill their hand with power and sanctify them. And they must act as priests to me and make drawers of linen for them to cover the naked flesh. From the hips to the thighs they are to extend. And they must be upon Aaron and his sons when they come into the tent of meeting or when they go near to the altar to minister in the holy place, that they may not incur error and certainly die. It is a statute to time indefinite for him and his offspring after him. That was Exodus 28. Luke 19. Jesus, now, he entered Jericho and was going through. Now here there was a man called by the name Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Well, he was seeking to see who this Jesus was, but he could not for the crowd because he was small in size. So he ran ahead to an advanced position and climbed a fig mulberry tree in order to see him because he was about to go through that way. Now when Jesus got to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and get down, for today I must stay in your house. With that he hurried and got down, and with rejoicing he received him as guest. But when they saw it, they all fell to muttering, saying, with a man that is a sinner, he went in to lodge. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, the half of my belongings, Lord, I am giving to the poor. And whatever I extorted from anyone by false accusation, I am restoring fourfold. At this Jesus said to him, this day salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. While they were listening to these things, he spoke in addition an illustration, because he was near Jerusalem, and they were imagining that the kingdom of God was going to display itself instantly. Therefore he said, a certain man of noble birth traveled to a distant land to secure kingly power for himself and to return. Calling 10 slaves of his, he gave them 10 minas and told them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent out a body of ambassadors after him to say, we do not want this man to become king over us. Eventually, when he got back, after having secured the kingly power, he commanded to be called to him these slaves of whom he had given the silver money, to whom he had given the silver money, in order to ascertain what they had gained by business activity. Then the first one presented himself, saying, Lord, your mina gained 10 minas. So he said to him, well done, good slave, because in a very small matter you have proved yourself faithful. Hold authority over 10 cities. Now the second came, saying, your mina, Lord, made 5 minas. He said to this one also, you too be in charge of 5 cities. But a different one came, saying, Lord, here is your mina that I kept laid away in a cloth. You see, I was in fear of you because you are a harsh man. You take up what you did not deposit, and you reap what you did not sow. He said to him, out of your own mouth I judge you, wicked slave. You knew, did you, that I am a harsh man, taking up what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow? Hence, why is it you did not put my silver money in a bank? Then on my arrival, I would have collected it with interest. With that, he said to those standing by, take the mina from him and give it to him that has the 10 minas. But they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I say to you, to everyone that has, more will be given, but from the one that does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Moreover, these enemies of mine that did not want me to become king over them, bring here and slaughter them before me. So, after he had said these things, he began to go on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And when he got near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Mount of Olives, he sent forth 2 of the disciples, saying, go into the village that is within sight of you. And in it, after you pass in, you will find a colt tied on which none of mankind ever sat. Loose it and bring it. But if anyone asks you, why is it you are loosing it? You must speak in this way. The Lord needs it. So those who were sent forth departed and found it just as he said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? They said, the Lord needs it. And they led it to Jesus, and they threw their outer garments upon the colt and set Jesus upon it. As he moved along, they kept spreading their outer garments on the road. As soon as he got near the road down the Mount of Olives, all the multitude of the disciples started to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice concerning all the powerful works they had seen, saying, blessed is the one coming as the King in Jehovah's name. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest places. However, some of the Pharisees from the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But in reply, he said, I tell you, if these remain silent, the stones would cry out. And when he got nearby, he viewed the city and wept over it, saying, if you, even you, had discerned in this day the things having to do with peace, but now they have been hid from your eyes, because the days will come upon you when your enemies will build around you a fortification with pointed stakes and will encircle you and distress you from every side. And they will dash you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave a stone upon a stone in you, because you did not discern the time of your being inspected. And he entered into the temple and started to throw out those who were selling, saying to them, it is written, and my house will be a house of prayer, but you made it a cave of robbers. Furthermore, he went teaching daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the principal ones of the people were seeking to destroy him. And yet they did not find the effective thing for them to do. For the people, one and all, kept hanging on to him to hear him. That was Luke 19, concluding. And I've had a busy day, but I was just reading a lot of interesting articles. I'm very interested in buying another day-date watch that has a wide day of the week displayed at the top. But I shouldn't be buying it because I've already bought several like that now. One of which is not working as it should, but it works fine as long as I just keep it on my desk. Which actually is a useful thing to have. To always have a watch on your desk that you keep there. And it runs accurately like that. So, I mean, perhaps I should just be content with that. But I do like to have a watch that I can wear on my wrist that has a wide date, a wide day of the week, that is, at the top. I should say it's not the date, it's the day of the week that's at the top. And the Hamilton has both the day of the week and the date, one above the other at the top. But it's about a $650 watch, plus shipping, plus shipping's free, or is not in excess of that. Shipping is included, but the tax is not included in that. So it's going to be more than $700 just to get. And this is for the model from 2011. And I'm not sure if it's when that particular watch will have been produced, whether it will have been produced recently enough for it to not need service right now if I buy that. So, but also there are a lot of other reasons why I don't want to buy that watch. But there are lots of reasons why I do want to buy it. It's a really good movement inside the watch, I believe, and that's why I want to buy it. For one thing, the day changes exactly at midnight, or it changes whenever it changes, but it changes quickly. Whereas a lot of these day of the week change over 4 hours. It takes 4 hours to change the day of the week in a lot of these watches that have that sort of movement with a wide day display. And even the ones that have the other day of the week, they take 4 hours to change the day of the week too. It's just the date of the month, or the day of the month, the number changes quickly. That's the one that changes quickly. So, when you're trying to find out the day of the week or the day of the month and it's around midnight, you don't really want to have those watches that change slowly. That's not really useful. So that's the reason I want the Hamilton, you know, but it's costing a lot of money. But the biggest problem with it is, that's one of the problems. The other problem is the contrast between the dial and the hands is not going to be the way it should be in order to work well in low light. And the other thing to do with it is that it's too big a dial. And also, well, there's a third thing, and that is that the dial that I have on the Pagani design, it's really a Rolex homage for a Rolex day date, which would cost $100,000 because the Rolex day date with the icy blue dial is only available in platinum, which costs $100,000. So the one I had was $138, and it looks exactly like the Rolex. I think it's very exactly similar, very, very similar, except it's stainless steel, of course. But it doesn't work properly. But the dial color, the icy blue dial, I mean, that's the color I think is the best color for that, for contrast. White would work too, but it's not as beautiful as icy blue. It's a sunburst, I think, the style as well of the color on the dial, and it's got dark gray hand, or maybe it's dark blue. The second hand is dark gray, and so you can see the second hand very easily in low light. That's the reason I like that watch, and I won't be getting that if I buy the Hamilton. But that's a 36 millimeter, and the Hamilton's 40 millimeters, and there's a big difference in diameter. And I like this watch partly because it was smaller than my other watches. It was better for wearing as far as being lightweight and small. But the thing is, with that also, the danger in that, I understand that God is wiser than I am, much wiser than I am, because he allowed me to buy a watch that doesn't work. So that watch, I'm not going to wear on my wrist, but it works fine sitting on the desk. But the thing is, it seems to, anyway, work fine only in that situation. But because I'm not going to be wearing it on my wrist, you see, there's an advantage, because if it were such a beautiful small watch, I might forget I'm wearing it because it's so lightweight. And that's bad because it'd get damaged in all the things I'm doing. When I'm working on things, it'll get beaten up. When I'm using heavy equipment or tools or things, doing yard work and all sorts of things that I shouldn't be wearing a watch when I'm doing it. Well, that's the advantage of having heavier watches, because you don't forget you're wearing them. So I don't forget I'm wearing it. So I remember to take it off before I do anything that might damage it. So that's the advantage of, and the wisdom of Jehovah, and the advantage of having larger watches. I think Jehovah knows better than I do. That's one example only, but he knows better than I do in so many ways. So even though I think it's a bad idea that I can't wear this smaller watch, Jehovah doesn't necessarily agree with me. So it's interesting for sure. I love you. I hope you enjoyed this video today, and thank you for listening and watching. Have a wonderful day. Praise Jehovah, and have faith in his son, Jesus. And this is Moppy on my behalf, and Crow saying bye for now.